We've been noticing that even in the weddings that we're doing, within minutes, and I mean minutes, we were sharing about the Lord in that place as people just started to confess and their waywardness, being away from church, and people that we sat with, getting to be able to talk to them about the Lord. And so God is moving. God is speaking to people. There's even people that come from this community that they're coming in and they're telling us they're hearing from God. They're telling us what God is saying to them. Jesus is coming soon. Was this week, you know what, Pastor? I sense that Jesus is coming soon. And I believe he is too. And we need to get ready for the coming of the Lord. He's preparing a bride. He wants his bride to be ready. And so we were very blessed to be down there last week. And it was a very great wedding and enjoyed it very much. And what a pleasure we had, though, just sharing Jesus with the individuals that were there and encouraging them. And so that was a really good opportunity. Well, a few things going on this week. Do you remember lots of things that are happening? Are doing our video series, Killing Kryptonite. And that's not for the light of heart, man. If you want to get serious with God, that's a great study to be looking at with John Bevere. Our youth nights on Wednesday, doing great. Our Bethel kids are doing great. This next Sunday, Vanguard College Choir is going to be here. So not just four or five. I think there's, 26, something like that, that'll be here. So they're going to have a big choir. Next week, they're going to be doing the service, so a good one to invite some people out. We also need some help with that regard, as they do need some billets. So they're going to be here on Saturday night, and they will need to be staying at billets. Otherwise, it's motels, and then that gets to be quite a big bill. So if you can help us out, would you please let us know even today? Call the office there tomorrow. Talk with Cynthia. The phone number is there. But even grab us today to say, hey, I can do this. I'd love to host and have some young Bible college students in my home. And so if you can help us out, that would be really, really good. And I think that's all we'll mention for now. And we'll call the ushers forward to receive your morning tithes and offerings. Again, we thank the Lord. And last week, Christopher has been speaking a lot about the family. And we'll be making that our focus in November. And so Christopher's been really doing a good job. It's a good thing that when you're away that you're getting lots of texts to say, hey, that was a really good service this morning. Christopher did really well. And we received a whole bunch of texts there on Sunday. And thankfully, service was over when you guys were starting. But we went to the early service while we were there in Calgary. And I went to a Beddington church. And enjoyed their time there as well. So 1 Corinthians 1:10, just one verse that we're going to read. And I want to talk today about getting our focus back. God is calling us as a church, and he's calling churches to get their focus back, to get our focus back on what really is important in the body of Christ and all around us. And so here's a passage that really summarizes it very well. It says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. Message Bible says it this way. I have a serious concern to bring up with you, my friends. Using the authority of Jesus our Master, I'll put it as urgently as I can. You must get along with each other. You must learn to be considerate of one another, cultivating a life in common. Today we're living in a world that is all about me. It's all about self. It's not about what the bigger picture is. We see that in our societies, things, especially right now in the United States, see a lot of things that are happening, a lot of turmoil, a lot of division in the country, even in our nation of Canada. There's been a lot of things, a lot of divisions. People are getting focused on the wrong things, and even our government's getting focused on the wrong things. And there needs to be a coming back to God. And God is calling. There really is a calling that's going out in Canada, a calling that's going out in the United States. I really believe it's a special calling that God is wanting to draw North America back into a full empowerment of God, into a full relationship with God, and that we might experience a fresh move of the Holy Spirit. But as we think about that, I want to talk about our focus. And a focus that we need that we might move forward as a church. Now, we have a really good church here. I love our church. I trust you love your church as well. And I really believe that we're at an important junction to our future. There have been many promises that have been spoken over this church, and there continues to be promises spoken over this church. Even this week, a person just out of the blue sent another text, and just there's just a constant stream that keeps coming that God is saying, I want to do more in your midst. I want to do more in your midst. And of course, if we want to experience more, then we have to give more. We have to surrender more to Him. And so God isn't finished with this church. And we're about to experience a fulfillment of efforts that have been from the past and our forefathers that have gone on before us, to those of us who are present now, and to the many prophetic words that have been spoken over this church. But before that happens, there's something we need to take care of that we might go forward as a church. And it's an issue that every church has to deal with, and every church has to continue to work at it. Now, Jesus, He often spoke of this issue along with the Apostle Paul, that the church, God's people, must strive to work together. God's people must strive towards harmony and unity in order to go forward. So we got to get back to that focus of coming together, working together as family. And that's who we are. We are family. We may have come from different parts of Canada. We may have come from different cultures. We may have come from different nations of the world. But we are family. As God's people, we are family. Now, as we look at the Corinthian church was a very Pentecostal, charismatic type of church, flowing in the gifts of the Spirit, and was doing very well until they got out of focus. They were kind of a happening church at the time, but suddenly things changed. And problems began to arise in which the church was kind of slow to act upon. And so the Apostle Paul is urging them throughout the whole letter. If you took time to read the whole 16 chapters of 1 Corinthians, he's writing the church and saying, you need to get that focus back and return to being the great church that you are, that you can move forward again. And as you look at this church, of its greatness to where it was going, and all you have to do is just thumb through the Bible and just look at the head titles there, and you'll kind of see that there's a lot of things that were happening that weren't good anymore. There was divisions that were happening. There was pride that was rising up in the church. People were becoming arrogant. People were being self-seekers and began seeking their own recognition in the church. Some began to boast of their spirituality and their spiritual gifts. Some began to quarrel among themselves. And it got so bad that there was actually lawsuits, even way back then. Others began to go back to their old lifestyles, deceiving themselves that I'm still a Christian, and yet they're participating in idolatry and quarreling and sexual immorality and drunkenness. They're really getting into a lot of trouble. They were divided. Bible says they were divided into four factions were in the church. And of course, you know, with any time there's divisions or people try to say, well, I follow this pastor. Well, I follow that pastor over here. And this is exactly what was happening in this church. Bible tells us that some said, well, I'm a follower of the Apostle Paul. And, you know, that's my spiritual Wheaties there that, hey, I'm a follower of Paul. Well, some said, no, well, I'm a follower of Apollos. Others said, well, I'm a follower of Cephas or Peter. And then those that got smart would start saying, well, I'm just a follower of Jesus. But in actuality, he rebuked them and said, you're divided. You're divided. It doesn't matter who you're saying you're following, you're divided because Christ is one. And that's where the church needs to come together as one. And so Paul is just strongly admonishing them throughout these 16 chapters, get your focus back. And To get that focus back, friends, we all need to go to the same place. We can't excuse it. We all got to have a face-to-face with God. We got to get down on our knees and begin to seek the Lord like never before. If you really want to experience the more of God, there's work for you to do. You just can't sit back and wait for someone else to do it. There's lots of people doing a lot of work. We all need to come together, work together, seek God together for something big to happen. So it's something very important that Paul encourages. He says, I really want you to have those heart-to-hearts. And throughout 1 Corinthians, he talks about this thing called examination. That we would take the time to do a serious examination of what we're doing. And what's happening in our lives. What's happening in our church. That we would take some time to do that. Do you realize that in the communion service itself, that he tells us that you need to take time to examine yourselves. You got to look at what's going on in your life. You got to look at what's taking place, not just in your own life, but also in your church. And then you got to examine yourself, see, well, Lord, is there things that I'm doing that are contributing to bad things? And you need to really seriously look at that. It's a job that everyone has to do in the church to seek the Lord. It's not just the pastor's job. It's not just a few intercessors' jobs. It's everybody's job. We all need to do that. We really do. 1 Corinthians is really a message to the church to get its focus back to what's important. And those instructions are really summed up well. Couldn't find a better verse than in verse 10 of 1 Corinthians. I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of the Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather be of one mind, united in thought, and purpose. And so that's where we're going to camp for a little bit this morning. I want to take to heart what's being said here, that we as a church body, as Bethel, may get that focus right, and that we might move towards the destiny that God has for us. And that starts out with a very common word that sometimes we hear in churches, and it's supposed to be in churches, and it's the word harmony. We need to get the focus of harmony back into our churches. And if you would look at the history of churches throughout the ages, you will find that that is not always the case, that the church is operating in harmony. There have been lots of splits. There have been lots of divisions. That's where denominations keep coming from, because we keep moving and people keep arguing and complaining and we keep separating ourselves. And so it's a big issue out there in the churches in our world today. There needs to be harmony. And we as a church, we must strive that we, as the body here, would be in harmony. And it's so important for not just this church, but for every church, in order for it to be effective, in order for us to move forward, you can't move forward without harmony. Listen how Paul addressed that again. Verse 10, he says, I appeal to you, brothers, sisters, because that's who we are. We're all brothers and sisters in Christ. We're all part of a family. You're part of the family of God, no matter what your culture is, what country you're from, what color you might be. We are family. And we're to be in harmony, to live in harmony with each other. To live in harmony is to live peaceably with one another, to have friendly relations with one another, to be in harmony with one another is to be in an agreement and feeling, action, and ideas. It's being in one accord with one another where we come into agreement, settling our differences, and dealing with the issues that divide us. This is something that's really important for the body of Christ, and that's what the Apostle Paul is really trying to stress for the church, that we need to work in harmony. See, every church is going to be tested in this area. And there are going to be times where you will find that your opinions differ from your brothers or sisters. Just like in the natural, that will take place. There will be times where sometimes you might say things you shouldn't have said. Sometimes there may be disagreements. Sometimes there may even be attacks of the enemy where our harmony is tested. In those times, sometimes you might need to apologize. Sometimes you might need to let forgiveness flow. Sometimes we might have to do some correction or discipline. But the purpose is always about restoring the harmony of the church, working together as one. So this is something that's very important, has been important throughout the church ages. And the Apostle Paul is pleading with the church to get its focus back on living in harmony with each other. So our focus needs to be on the bigger picture of others versus self, which isn't really all that easy because we live in such a society today that's very individualistic out there. Yes. It's all about yourself. That's all we pursue. It's about me, 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 me. And we got all these movements, and it's all about me, me, me. It's not about others. It's just about me. And that's maybe the world, but it's not supposed to be the church. The church needs to be about others. Not about me, not about I, but our whole body. And we are to live in harmony with one another. And so that's a good question as we look at this focus. Are we working towards harmony? Now, secondly, in getting that focus back, Apostle Paul talks about that we need to shun division. See, division should have no place in the church, in the body of Christ. It's wrong, and it comes from the pit of hell. There's nothing Christian about division. And you can spiritualize it all you want, and that's what the early church was doing here in Corinthians. Well, I'm following Paul. Well, I'm following Apollos, and I'm following this person. You can't spiritualize it. We do it so that we can feel good about ourselves, that we're acting in unrighteousness, but there'd be no divisions in the church. What does division mean? Division means a state of being divided, separated, disagreements, differences of opinions. And we need to guard ourselves from allowing that to happen in the church. And unfortunately, we sometimes don't always catch it, or we don't always deal with it. And then that leads to factions, where all of a sudden we're all working against one another. But a thing that really appealed to me as I began to look at this, a closer examination of the word division means to rent, to tear, to crack. And that's kind of a much better picture of what division does in the church. It creates a tear. It creates a crack, an opening that gives the enemy access to come into the church and create havoc. That's what division does. It's like you're cutting a place open so that the enemy, you're allowing the enemy now to have access to come in and create havoc in the church. So divisions are things that are very serious, and they carry physical and spiritual ramifications. The context of the communion service. If you would go back to 1 Corinthians 11 and take time to read that passage of Scripture, which is where we usually, during our communion time, that we read from this portion of Scripture. Well, it starts off about there's divisions. And then it gets into having communion and examining yourself. And so the whole purpose of examining is that we might deal with any divisiveness that may be in our midst or in ourselves. And that's really the context of the communion service that we often do in our churches, that we're really supposed to be looking at that area of how we're operating as the body of Christ, because that's who God refers to us, that we are now the body of Christ as believers. I'll read a little portion of that in 1 Corinthians 11, 28, 31. That is why you should examine yourself before eating the bread and drinking the cup. For if you eat the bread or drink the cup without honoring the body of Christ, you are eating and drinking God's judgment upon yourself. And that is why many of you are weak and sick, and some have even died. But if you would examine yourselves, you would not be judged by God in this way. What's happening in this passage of Scripture? People are giving in to their carnal nature, their selfish desires. Divisions were happening. And instead of blessings happening, judgment was happening in the church. And friends, you need to realize there are consequences to our choices. When we make bad choices, there's always a consequence to our choice. And God gives us grace. that we might change. God gives us time that we might change. But if we refuse to change, then the door of judgment gets opened up. Basically, with God, there's always an easy way and a hard way. You're going to learn your Christianity either an easy way or you're going to learn it a hard way. The choice is really yours. God chooses, desires to teach every one of us through his word the easy way. This is the easy way that you can learn. If you will take time in my word, if you will seek my face, that's the easy way. Or you can choose the hard way. And don't bother getting into the word of God. Don't bother praying or you know, just be a casual Christian. And you will go through a lot of things to get you back to that place and go through a lot of hardship that you might learn the lesson the hard way. I always pray to God, God, help me to learn those lessons of life the easy way. Help me not to go in those places where all of a sudden, you know, my mind is kind of blocked and I'm not seeing things and I got to learn a lesson the hard way. See, divisions, they'll cause a tear. They'll cause a consequence. A division causes an opening for the enemy to come in and create havoc in the body of Christ. See, sin doesn't just affect you, it affects everybody else because it's all part of the body. Part of that havoc can be sickness, illness, lack of healing, and even premature death. See, division affects the whole, not just part. And that's why we need to shun division. That's why we need to stand up against division so that we don't give access to the enemy to come in and create havoc in the body of Christ. That's why the enemy likes division so much, because it creates havoc in the body of Christ. It prevents the church from fulfilling its potential. And so Paul is admonishing us so strongly that we might shun division. We're not to tolerate, we're not to be part of it, we're to quick to be rebuke it and to rebuke those who try to involve you in it. It's very serious business. In fact, you may not realize, but it ranks among the top seven sins that God hates. Proverbs 6, 16 to 19. There are six things the Lord hates. No, seven things he detests. That means he really, really hates it. Haughty eyes, lying tongue, hands that kill the innocent, a heart that plots evil, feet that race to do wrong, a false witness who pours out lies, and a person who sows discord in a family. So it's time that this is serious stuff that the church needs to take serious as it affects the whole church. It tears a hole, an opening for the enemy to come in where literally our health can be affected. I've grown up in that. We had a beautiful church that I grew up with. We were there from the very beginning, the first day that church started with just a few people. I was there. Our family was the first family to be part of that church. But as I got into the teen years and went off to Bible school, I got to watch that church get torn apart with division, then another division, then another division, then finally the church is just closed. It's not open anymore. That's what division do. That church had great potential in that community. Now it has zero potential in the community. So Paul tells us, deal quickly with these things because there's consequences. They don't just affect you. They affect the world that's all around us. Not just in here, but all those people around us. They may never hear the gospel because of such things. So let's deal quickly with any divisive situations that we find ourselves in. Let us deal with people who are divisive. We may need to warn them. And if they refuse the warning, the Bible is very clear. We break fellowship with them, or otherwise we become guilty of disobeying the word of God, and we put ourselves under judgment because we were refusing to obey the word of God. So divisions are very real. They're rampant in our society. They're rampant in our churches, in our world. And the Bible says, that's not my desire for you. That's not God's desire for his people. And he tells us that even in the last days, this will become even more of a problem, even more of a situation. So we need to be quick to be on guard. We need to totally shun any participation and any kind of division. Shun division. And as you shun the division, you begin to mend all those tears, all those cracks that happen because of it. And you begin to shut the access of the enemy out. You begin to seal it up again so that the enemy cannot have havoc in our midst. So shun division, because we don't want cracks or tears in our community and in our family. And then lastly, and getting our focus back, we need to focus on unity, togetherness, oneness as a church body. Again, verse 10, it says, I appeal to you, dear brothers and sisters, by the authority of our Lord Jesus Christ, to live in harmony with each other. Let there be no divisions in the church. Rather, be of one mind, united in thought and purpose. The scripture really does give us a great definition here of what unity is. Unity is being of one mind, united in thought and purpose. God wants his church to be one. There's a little song that they sing in our Bethel Kids on Thursday night. My God is so big, so strong, and so mighty. And part of that verse talks about he's one. One plus one plus one equals one. That's God's desire for the church, that we would be one, that we would operate as one together, a family. The scripture, another dictionary definition of that would be to act as a single entity, a united front, being in agreement. And again, that just doesn't happen. You got to work at it. We got to work at unity. Unity in our homes. Unity in our churches. Unity in our communities. Unity in our nation. And right now, we're seeing that in Canada and the United States. There's not a unity that's going on right now. A lot of divisiveness happening in Canada and happening in the United States right now. Now, concerning unity, as I was reading about unity, we've been doing this series of by John Bevere, Killing Kryptonite. And in those sessions, there's a story there that he writes about the Navy SEALs. And John Bevere, he asked one of his Naval SEALs friends, he said, how do you produce a tight-knit community? And then the man went on to give an explanation of how the SEALs create a tight-knit community, which is what we as a church need to be, being unified. Well, this is what he said, so you'll have to bear with me as I read some of his comments that this man said. He said, first of all, the last person a SEAL thinks of, a Navy SEAL thinks of, is himself. We value our brother next to us more than ourselves. We never have to cover our backs because we know our SEAL brothers will. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? We value our brother next to us more than ourselves. We don't have to worry about covering our backs because I know my brother got my back. The man went on to say, he obviously a Christian, he said, it's like the sixth chapter of Ephesians and the armor of God. The armor of God is all forward-facing. Nothing covers the rear side. The reason is that God intends for each of us to do what the SEALs do, to cover each other's backs, to think as one unit, one body, and that we function as a team. I have every guy in my platoon covering my back. Again, very powerful words. That as the body of Christ, that we would cover each other's backs. You know, that means no knives get through, no arrows get through, because the rest of us are on the lookout to make sure. That's part of our job. As a Navy SEAL, he said, goes on to say, everything I do is for the sake of my brother next to me. We believe this to be the very core of our being. We are trained not to think of ourselves as individuals, but as a unit. Even though we are trained as experts in different areas, we function as one unit. Again, powerful words that we can apply. He's on to say, we never go on a mission with a mentality that some of us may never come back. No, our attitude is 100% of us go in, 100% of us come back. Again, unity. Each one values the man next to him more than himself and is willing to die for a bigger cause than himself. And then the man closed with these words. He said, if only the church would behave this way, what would happen? What would happen if we as the church took that application, which really comes from Jesus in the first place of what he told us to do, and we actually apply it? That we become like an army of one, that nobody can defeat us because we just start covering one another. One falls, we pick them up while the others begin to protect again. That's what we need to do. That's the unity we need in our church. If we really want to go forward to experience all that God has for us, then we need to focus on unity. Coming together as family, moving forward together, having one another's backs, and being there for one another to prevent injury from happening in the body of Christ. Friends, unity will prevail when discord is opposed and when we stand up for one another. So we need to get to that focus and place of unity that we might go forward with what God has for us. Now, in closing, I really believe that we as a church need to go there. We need to work a little bit better on being family. And I know we got a good church, and I'm not trying to say we're a bad church. I'm just trying to tell you that, you know what, we need to get closer. We need to come back together, that oneness, that team again. We need to live in that harmony and shun the divisions that are around us and focus on unity, focus on the us mentality versus the me mentality. We've been talking about this as staff. And as we talked more about it, we decided that, well, let's do something. Let's make a focus about family and our church body in this month of November. And so we're going to do that. All of November, all the messages are going to be along those lines, that we're family. We're the body of Christ to encourage one another, build one another up. And that's where our messages are going to go. Christopher has already done a pretty great job of doing that already. If you look back at all of his messages that he has spoken since he became a pastor, he really has been on that theme. And I know he did a great job there last week as well. So we're going to continue that focus on every Sunday of November. We're also going to have communion, just as the Apostle Paul says, get together, have communion together, and we're going to be doing that every Sunday, and then we're going to have the children come back out of their service to join us and join us as family that we might partake together. And so we will be doing that. We'll also be having Jeremiah from our district office. He's going to be coming and speaking on that subject as well on November 18th. And then following that, we're going to go into a kind of an ushers and greeter meeting, a little seminar that we'll do following that service. Also, we're going to be changing our prayer in the morning to in November that we'll be praying here in the sanctuary, even as the team is practicing, that we'll welcome people to come in here and just pray quietly. But then as they finish, we just want to come together with the team that's up here, the team that's doing children's church, the team that's doing nursery, the ushers, that we just might come together right here at the front of the church and join together, believe together. We want to build teamwork. So that's going to be something that we're going to be doing as well starting in November. And then also our Sunday nights, we've been kind of just having there, if you want to come to prayer on Sunday nights, it's open, it's there for you. And in November, I really want to encourage you to come even more. I think it's time that we start saying, this is something we have to do. We really need to do this. We need to pray. Things are not going to break open if we just keep staying home. And I know we can all say, well, I'm praying at home. I know, and that we appreciate that. It's beneficial. But there's something about coming together to pray. And so in November, as we are going to be doing that, encouraging everybody to come. We're also going to show a short video each night, and it's by Jensen Franklin. And he's just got a new book out there, and I got the DVD series off it. And it's called Love Like You've Never Been Hurt. And I think there's some healings that need to take place with hurts in our lives that have taken place. And so we're going to be showing that at the start of the prayer time. So out of that hour, we're going to lose maybe 20 minutes just watching that. But just to kind of help us to be focused on things, mending some things, because we want to clear up any tears, cracks, or anything that may be there in the spiritual that we don't see, to mend them up so that the enemy cannot have access into the body of Christ. And I really believe these are things that we need to do. Kind of get our focus back on the body. Get our focus back on one another. Get our focus back that, listen, we're family here. We're all important. We're all needed. And that's what we would like to do. And so that's where we're going in this next month. That's what we'll be taking some time to do in this service. Now, as we come to this close part, I kind of thought of an application. Now, some of you may know, or some of you may not know, that one of our former pastors, they're still here in the church, Don and Anita Michel, Thanksgiving Sunday, she got diagnosed with leukemia, acute myeloid leukemia, very fast-acting leukemia. She is in the university hospital. She's undergoing treatments right away. Dawn has taken a three-month leave of absence from school. She's going to be there in hospital for a month. Then after a reassessment, probably another 3 months where she has to be in Edmonton. And again, having treatments. I saw her yesterday, and so she made it first through the first week. It was very important that they could get to see that, is it making a difference, the treatments? Because if it wasn't going to make a difference, then that would be like, there's no hope for you. But they are making a difference, and I know many of you are already praying. And we need to pray. And I think, you know, even tonight, we're family. We got to start praying for people that get sick, people that are going through some difficulties in their lives. It's not good enough just to say, yeah, I'm praying for you. No, I think we need to come together as the body and say, you know what, we're going to start praying for some people. And maybe there's more of you here that you have needs, and bring those needs Sunday night, that we can start praying for one another and caring for one another. And I thought as I did this message, that, you know, I thought, why don't we do something for her? See, you know, it's Pastor Appreciation Month, if you didn't know that. October is Pastor Appreciation Month. So, we're former pastors. Why don't we bless them as part of Pastor Appreciation Month? And just show some kindness and some love that we can just throw at them. And I think they'd really appreciate that. And so, we're going to close this service kind of differently. And we're going to close it with an opportunity to take up an offering. So, I'm going to ask that the ushers would, you can get those plates again, that we're going to take up an offering. Now, if you're not able to give, that's okay. I'm not going to put any pressure. This is just something, a free will thing that you can do, that if you want to help in this situation, this is someone from your body. You want to help them, then you can give. You can use the debit machine. It'll be open there right by, as soon as you go out the doors, that'll be there. And so you can give by debit or give cash. But there's also something else you do. I know not everyone has money or extra money that they can give. We can pray. We all can pray. And that's what they're asking more than anything. Would you please pray for us? Please pray for us. Do that, please. And so that's what we want to do. We want a kind of an opportunity, a thing like, Lord, it's right here in our laps. We're talking about family. Here's a family member in a very serious situation, life and death situation. They need a miracle. Why don't we bless them and help them out? And so we're going to do that. And if you want to help other ways through prayer, that's really, really important too. And actually, probably the most important thing we can do is to pray. But why don't you come out tonight? And we can take some time to pray for Anita. We can take some time to pray for other people in our church that are going through some pretty big things. I think maybe we've gotten a little bit away from, the Bible says, confess your sins, but that you may be healed. And it's not necessarily always sins that we need to confess. Sometimes it's just, you know what, I'm going through a hard time right now. I'm going through a difficulty right now. Will somebody stand with me and pray with me, because I feel all alone. I feel like I'm going through this all by myself. And I think that's happening a little too much in our community right now. That people are going through things and they're feeling all alone. I think we need to change that. Bring it back to unity and start praying for one another and believing God to start breaking off some of these things that come against us and showing the enemy, enemy, you have no place here. You have no place here. You ain't touched. You mess with my brother, I'm going to come after you. I remember last week I was at I went to one of the movies, and there was these guys in front of me. They were huge, huge, huge guys. They were from Good Fish. And I was kind of feeling as I'm watching a movie that invite them to church and think like, what a stupid thing thought to have in my head. Like, these guys are big. I don't want to get them upset because they're way bigger than me. But finally, you know, opportunity arose. I got to talk to them, and I did invite them to church. They're part of the body out there. We want more people to come into the kingdom of God. God's calling. You've got to be ready to do it. So, ushers, if you would come at this time, and if you want to be a part of this, you're welcome to be a part of that. Otherwise, that's okay too. That's why they call free will offerings. If you will to step out in this area, I know it'll be a big encouragement for them. And we're acting as the body. Father God, I thank you that you're speaking to us about our body. And that, Lord, that we got a good body. But you want our body to be better. And Lord, we want that too. We want our body to be better here. And so God, would you help us to be more concerned about what people are going through. And Lord, not just to kind of give a 2-second prayer for somebody, but really just kind of join in with them and say, no, I'm going to believe with you for your miracle. You are not going to stand alone anymore. We are going to surround you. We are going to be your protection. We are going to take care of your back. So God, I pray that you're going to help all of us to do that, that we might begin to surround one another even more. Because Lord, you tell us in the last days, these things are going to come in increasing waves. So Lord, help us that, Lord, that we would be a very strong defensive church, that we would surround one another. We would protect one another. We would pray for one another. We would encourage one another. We would lift one another up. And so, Lord, I just pray that you would just help us to refocus if we need to be, God. I know many people are already doing those things, but God, we want to raise it up to a higher level. And we want to be the body you called us to be. We want to be the army you called us to be. And so, Lord, we just bless those that are able to give today, that are able to respond, and we just bless them in Jesus' name. Amen. So bless you as you give. And as I said, if you want to give through the debit machine or credit card, you can do that as well. And, you know, you're not paid this week. It's next week. Well, you can give next week. We can still forward that to them. So that's something you can do. Then we all can pray. Let me tell you, if every one of us here came out here tonight and we started praying, things would get broken. We just got to start reminding ourselves that, yeah, prayer does make a difference. Prayer does make a difference. We just need to come together as a body and say, not here in this house. We're going to cast out sickness. We're going to cast out division. We're going to cast out diseases and all those kinds of things that the enemy tries to throw at us. We're going to seal up the cracks to keep that enemy out, because he's not welcomed in this house. There's only one spirit that we welcome. That's the Holy Spirit of God. So I encourage you to do that. And we're just going to have turn on some music there and just kind of close with that. And thank you for being in church today. Kind of a different message. Kind of a different thing that we're kind of did today. But just something I just felt God wanted to say to the church. A focus that we want to start doing to be a better family. To really encourage one another in that area. So we'll be doing that the whole month. of November. And you have an opportunity even tonight if you want to come out and just join us in prayer. We only do it for an hour. And so I think as we'll take time tonight just to pray for people that you can be open, say, I have a need. I need some prayer. I need someone to have my back, because there's a lot of people feeling they're all alone in this battle. And we got to be there as a body to say, no, you are not. We got your back. We got your back. And we're going to help and see it through. Amen. Bless you. Thank you for coming to the house of the Lord. Have a coffee or whatever out there, and be blessed. Have a great week. Keep praying. Keep believing for great things to come. Amen. Bless you.